Hi everyone, hello Dream Chasers. Welcome to University CoLab, your podcast on chasing your dreams. And today we have Joyce with us, our guest of the day. Welcome Joyce, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm fine, and you?
I'm good, thanks. And hi Prince, how are you?
Hey Val, I'm good.
Okay, so maybe Joyce, can you tell us in a few words about what you do and your project? Because you kind of have two hats.
Yeah, indeed. So I'm Joyce. I'm 23. I'm actually in my first year of master. I'm finishing my first year of master. And I am the CEO of Upsai Chic, which is a small company where we can sell some clothes made by students in fashion.
Awesome. So, of course, the first question that pops into mind is, what inspired you to start this project?
Well, when I started this project, it was 1 year ago, so it's quite a new project. And I started it with my best friend at that time, and we were starting the pandemic. So we started to make some masks. So she was a student in fashion studies, and we use her stuff, like her pattern and so, to make some mask. And the people were like, oh yeah, it's a cool idea, because yeah, she can sell what she had bought during her 3 years of fashion studies, and at the same time they can have a super mask, unique, and so they really liked it. And then in September I started this more fashion side of the company by selling clothes. And it was also inspired by my friend, because she was studying, but she was also alone in this country and she was a little bit struggling. And I saw also all of her friends that were struggling, because they were putting a lot of money in collections that will just be present to their teachers, but then it will just stay like that in the side of their room. And so I thought, yeah, this is something that should change, because those clothes can totally be wear in the streets and so. And so, yeah, I was thinking maybe it was a better idea to start selling those clothes than just let them be there like that.
Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Like, what's your background? Where are you from? I understand the inspiration was initially to help your friend, but what more? Like, what are you thinking beyond that?
So what is my inspiration to start a business?
Yeah, sure. Let's start with that.
So I always wanted to be a little bit more independent. And I started to work since I was 15. So now I'm 23. So it's been 7 years that I've made some student jobs. Last time I've counted, and I was like 18 experience in different jobs. So I was like, yeah, I think I've made everything possible. And now I want to see if I can do my own business, if I can just put my own schedule and do what I want to do. And so, and it was also to like prevent for the future. So I was like thinking, if I finish my master degrees, what would I do? So should I stay in communication, or should I be independent? And so that's why also I started it now, I mean, 1 year ago. So I know that I can already work when I'm going out of my master.
And what are you specializing in right now?
Communication, public relation.
Nice. So you're mixing communication and fashion with your venture. Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, and this business also allow me to still experience communication, because I have to handle with the communication part in this business. And so, yeah, it's also a kind of formation in continue for me working in this business.
That's wonderful. What other skills that you picked up when you started working? You said you did some student jobs when you were 15 and so on. So from that time to now, what other skills that you picked up are supporting you in doing this?
I think with all of those jobs, I have learned to talk to clients in a certain way, to take on myself, because sometimes you just want to say, yeah, I don't care about what you think, and just starting to do a fight with someone. But yeah, you have to think, yeah, I have a business, I'm representing someone, so I cannot say that, I cannot go on that way. And you just retain yourself, you know, you just think, I will talk in another way. And that's one of the skills that I've learned. I've also learned to be open-minded, because you never know who is on the other side. So you don't know if they had a bad day, you don't know if they had the worst day of their life. So you always have to put yourself in a certain mind and to let everything come and just take it and do it, deal with it.
Yeah, so being more empathetic towards your customers, basically, understanding what their needs are, and then catering to that.
Actually, yeah, totally.
I like that. Like, remember, she's 23. I mean, 23, I don't know you, but I wasn't talking like that yet. I didn't have yet this insight. So that's really great. It shows that you already have some experience, and I think it's very valuable. Whatever happens afterwards, I really wish for you that the project will, of course, work out. But even if it doesn't, all these skills you're learning now are going to be so valuable and so important. One aspect I really like also is the more conscious side of it. Kind of more into slow fashion, like, okay, we make these projects for a first purpose, for the students to show their teachers, and then instead of just throwing them away or leaving them to rot in a place, we actually use them and sell them, so people can wear them, have fun, have something also a bit unique, you know, because it's been designed by someone else. It's not like you go to H&M or whatever and you bring a t-shirt. No, it's something more special. And also you actually use it, so it's not a waste. I like this idea of kind of recycling. And is it also something that drives you? Is it like one of the big motivations for you in this project?
Yeah, so the two sides of this project are really boosting me. So the first part, like the ethical part with the students and so, but also the ecologic part, because I don't know if you know that, but the fashion industry is the second more polluting industries. And yeah, I think it was quite a shock when I have learned all those facts about the fashion industries, like the fact that when they don't sell all of the clothes, they burn it. Like, why are you burning those clothes? Some people need some clothes, and I was kind of shocked of that idea. And also, when you buy something, it does eight times a trip around the world. So it just go from, I don't know, India to England to Belgium to then. And a clothes is really traveling more than us, actually. And I was also shocked by that, because yeah, we have a lot of people here that are willing to work, and yeah, it will cost a little bit more, but at the end, it will cost less to the earth than just buying clothes that were made in China or Asia or I don't know where else.
No, it's a nice project. And I also like the idea of, okay, you cannot change the whole industry by yourself, obviously, but yeah, you can do something, you can try to make a change. And I think it's very inspiring for everyone. It's easy to be discouraged and to be like, okay, anyway, it's too hard, it's too big, I cannot change the whole world. Of course not, but you can do one small thing, you can do your part, and that's what you're starting to do now. So I think for our listeners, it's also good to keep that in mind. Yeah, okay, you're not going to save the whole world, okay, nobody asked you to, but you can also make a small difference. And if you have something that feels important for you, if you have a cause, okay, do one small thing, try to implement it in your business, and that's already a big, big step. If everyone does that, I mean, imagine what it's going to do. So yeah, I think it's small waves creating big waves.
Yeah, the part I love about in all that I heard, you know, you express right now is perspective. And this is something that people need to realize as well, that, you know, no one individually has to take on all of that burden on their shoulders to go ahead and change the world. Yes, you can influence it. You can maybe change it, but you don't have to do it alone, right? As Val said, you do your part in it. And so you've started a business, but not only did you start with the right principles, with the right values, you're doing it consciously, so you can do your part in bettering our society, the orchestration, the infrastructure around it. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will just bounce back on that because, yes, it's really hard to have a business, even more when you are in a pandemic, and even more when you're a student. And it's going to be hard. And when you start a business, it's never for the money, it's always for a change. And when you're just hanging on to that vision of change, you will just wake up, even if you're crying, you will just wake up and say, I want that change to continue. And so it will just keep you up to date every day to keep you boost, in fact. So yeah.
So that's your motivation. It gets you up in the morning.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's the right approach to do it.
Yeah, because you also have your student life. So you basically have two jobs at once. That's not easy. I mean, already one can be hard, especially when you do something freelance, but you also have to study actually. So yeah, congrats on that. I don't know how you manage it. If you have any tip or miracle solution, please share it. I'm sure many people would be interested to hear.
Yeah, how do you juggle it? Like, how do you manage studying full time and then being able to run this company as well?
I don't know. I don't know how to say, how to give it cute answer that will motivate everyone.
No, it doesn't have to be cute. It can be practical. So like, how do you go about your day? How many hours in a week do you dedicate to it? Do you have time aside?
Yeah, well, I don't count anymore because I will start my day at like 8 and I will finish it at 23. And when I had class, I used to have class during the day, and sometimes during my break I was sending emails for the company, so I didn't really have a break, but I was just eating and doing meals and trying to catch up with the class. And so, and after the class it was also the same, like I wasn't in class anymore, but I was trying to do some things for the accounting, I don't know. But yeah, I really have to stay on earth, have a great surroundings, because my friends are always keeping me motivated when I'm just low and down. They are always like, yeah, you can do it and it's okay, just take some time for you, because I can work like 7 days for 1 week, so it's kind of complicated. But I think, like I say earlier, that if you have your motivation and your vision, it will drive you far and far, and you will not give up. But yeah, you have to be well surrounded also. And I'm trying to be organized, but I will not lie, I have my agenda, I fill it, and sometimes I forgot something. So yeah, I'm trying to keep things organized as much as possible, but then yeah, we are human, so we can mess up.
I love that. I love that you have that realization, and that's what I would suggest you focus on as well. Yeah, it's all part and parcel of being a human, right? Being part of the human race, that yeah, sometimes we will forget things, we will mess up. But I also noticed that maybe you seem to be struggling with a few things there, in the sense of, because you know it's a new project that you've started and then now you're trying to keep up. But just one word of caution, don't be too much in a rush to do something. You have the right macro mindset. You're going, aiming for the right things. Just focus on that. Yes, in the micro, you need to be a bit of an executioner, in the sense that, yeah, you need to have a schedule, you need to follow through that, and juggling your lunch with emails and all of that. In the long run, maybe I'll suggest try to find some balance. It is important to have some self-care routines too, so that you can sustain that growth, that trajectory that you've embarked yourself on. And you know, by all means, I have no doubt in my mind that you will do it. You will absolutely do it. But just take it slow from that perspective. Don't try to rush into it.
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to take it slow sometimes because you're motivated and you know that there are some students in fashion that are kind of counting on you. So you just don't want to drop anything and just let them like drop them. Yep. And so, yeah, you put a lot of pressure on yourself. And that's why also I'm starting now to take a bit more of time for myself. And so, And with my friends, yeah.
By all means, accountability is great. You need to have that. All of us need to have that. Otherwise, nobody will get anything ever done, right? It's important to care for yourself as well, because if you just rush through it and you know you end up ruining your health, and that it's not worth it. This is why I talked about some self-care routines. I don't know, Val's a fitness coach here. Are you into exercise? Are you spiritual? Are you into meditation and things like that, right? Just morning when you wake up, give yourself some time to ease into your day. For sure, have a schedule to follow through and have certain goals for the day marked up. And if you were able to hit some of those, that's wonderful. You made some progress. And then the next day, try for more. But just don't take on too much pressure just because it's easy to get consumed in that.
That's true. I think it's something that happens to all of us when we get started, right? Because we're so passionate about the project, we're so into it, and again, we don't want to disappoint people who count on us. Like you said, you have students who count on you, so you're like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna give it 100%. And then you also want for yourself, and you also have this greater cause, and there are so many factors that motivate you, which is great and awesome. But I think we all, when we started our own project, I don't know one person who wasn't at least burned out, because we go all in, we do too much, and that's completely normal. And I think it's part of the process. And at some point you will self-regulate, like you will understand, okay, this is not sustainable, I cannot do this. And like Prince suggested, yeah, you will maybe have a bit more free time for yourself. You will maybe implement more self-care routine. And it's very personal. It can be more movement, it can be more meditation, it can be whatever makes you feel good with yourself. But that comes, I believe, with experience and time. Because when you're still in the first year, it's so fresh, it's so new, and especially if it's going well, right? It's kind of addictive. You're like, oh my God, and we can do this and expand and do more. Yeah. And it's so exciting, right? So you don't want to stop. I completely understand.
I can just feel the excitement that Val is kind of absorbing from this, and it's showing in her voice. I can see that. For those of you
who can't see it, like,
but I think you can feel it in her voice. But this is why I was saying, right? She talked about burnout. I'll just take a personal example. When I was your age, I had started my first job, not fresh out of college. I think I was a couple of years into it. So I was still around my first job, and there was a period of 9 months where we had critical deliveries. I was promoted there as a lead, and I was sleeping just 1.5 hours in a day. That's not healthy.
Wow.
That's not
healthy. No, not at all.
Yeah, so it's not advice, which is why I'm saying, like, so the things that I follow now are, maybe I'll keep Sunday just for myself. No meetings, no emails. I'll focus on, if I just want to, I can put my legs up in the air and relax for the day, I'll do that. Or if I try to go for walks on a day-to-day basis. Of course, it's a pandemic. The gyms are not open. You cannot go work out. Otherwise, I love boxing. I love to beat the hell out of a punching bag. Because you have to stay in shape. You have to keep yourself healthy, physically, mentally, spiritually. If you lose balance out of any of those three things, it does start to catch up on you. You will reach a place where you won't be able to function anymore. And it takes a lot of time to recover from that as well. So I love your energy. I love that you have the right values set as the foundation of your business. You're going for all the right things, all the wonderful things that everybody should be aware of and should do their part about it. Definitely focus on yourself as well. Give yourself time to be able to drive this successfully, right? And you said you have your friend. The two of you are working together, or are you running this alone?
No, she is not working with me anymore. Because she was not entertained by this side of this project. And it was more me. But yeah, I like to say that I like to write we when I'm speaking, because I'm not alone. In fact, there are some people that will just give me a hand, like, I don't know, they will give me a hand for shooting, photo shoot and so. I'm not really alone.
Yeah.
And yeah, as you say, a burnout is really fast to come, I already had one at 22. So yeah, I see what you mean with the balance. And so it's really important to keep that in mind, because yeah, otherwise you would just lose your passion also, and you will be disgusted about everything. And I don't know, it's kind of a weird situation also. So yeah, I would totally agree with that balance also.
Just speaking from experience, and I'm not trying to put that weight down here, but something I've been through, and I would advise against it. And these are my strategies to manage it, basically, right? But it's wonderful that you have people around you that are supporting you for sure. And how are you? So let's talk a little bit about your process. How are you going through this from designing to sourcing material to building up a certain item or a certain accessory, and then you put it up for sale? Do you have like an e-commerce platform set up by yourself? It's your own website. Are you managing it on a platform?
Yeah, so we have an e-commerce that we're built from Wix, and I will actually upgrade it by coding myself next year. But I'm more into the communication part, so really the relationship with the customer, like with the designers, and I don't really do the fabrication process, because what is the goal of this project is like those students, when they were students, they have all of those constraints from their teachers, like you have to do it that way and that way and that way, and you have to fit in a box. So here they are totally free to create how they wanted to do it. So I will just ask them to show me what they want, so what they want to do, so we can make a photo shoot that will fit with every creation. But otherwise they will just do it by themselves. Sorry, they will just do it by themselves to do the searching for the patterns and other stuff. So yeah, they have the main decision on that.
No, I was gonna say, so they have kind of a lot of freedom, and basically you just supervise, check that it's gonna be something that you actually will sell, probably, I guess. Like if it's too haute couture, I'm not sure people would be into it. How do you do for the pricing? Do you have like standard pricings and then you discuss with the creators, or do you do case by case? I don't know, how would you proceed for that?
Here also they have the main decision, because they have spent times on it, they have spent their money on it, so they know how much it will cost. So but yeah, I would not say you have to lower your price anymore, because they have spent too much time in it. So it's not like the fast fashion industries where it's just made one second by one second. Here they took their time by doing it with their own hands. So yeah, they are also the decider in,
yeah, so in this space. So the important part is they're being paid for their effort, and not just
exactly.
Because, you know, if it was a unique creation, you double the price. No, that's not the idea here. What's your dream? What's your goal for this project, this venture that you've started? Where do you aspire to take it?
Well, the ultimate goal, the ultimate dream would be to have a PsyChic platform on every country. So every student of the country would be able to sell it for his own country.
Okay.
So like in France, they will sell it in France, and in Spain, they will sell it in Spain. And so that will be the ultimate goal. But yeah, I think the first step here would be to work more and more with students, so to do a collection where we decide, so I mean I decide of what I would like to see in the shop, and they would create, but besides they will also create their own stuff. So it will be a two value proposition, two style of clothes.
Okay, like having two lines basically. So the PsyChic lines, let's say, and then more the creator side, where they would be completely free and do like crazy stuff if they want to. And having more the baseline, which would have, I guess, some style on its own, like some reference and something consistent. Sorry.
So
it's totally that.
So coming in, coming in a bit more from branding and you know, from organization perspective. And I love that you have that, you've thought of, oh, I want to make this platform available in all the countries so people could do their own thing locally. Are you running any workshops, any, like, how are you scaling your contacts in that sense to be able to be present there? Or right now, as you said, you know, the focus is just to work more and make something out of it, and then you will think about placing yourself in other locations.
So actually, right now we are still developing the website, and so the we want more clothes on the website, but still staying in the slow fashion apps aspect, and by not selling a lot of collection, so not too much clothes. And then I think it will be important to have like a shop so people can really see what we do, who we are, and they will try the patterns and so. But yeah, after that it will be more easy, I think, to expand, because they will know what the project is, and so yeah, it will be easier to be known. I don't know if it was that question.
Yeah, makes sense. So definitely working with more people, more fashion students, and then giving them a platform to showcase their skills, of course. And then you want to have a select line, which is, let's say, collaboratively decided, or just so whatever your vision is for Upsize Chic, it goes with that. So you, like, it's Upsize Chic endorsed. Then they can also browse through certain creators, certain designers, and then just see what they have put up there. Interesting concept for sure. I see it turning into more of a marketplace as well at some point. I don't know if you have that thought. I was just visualizing different things.
I'm sorry, you have kind of freeze two time. I don't know if it was my side or your side.
Oh.
But I didn't hear well.
So. Sorry about that. No, I was just, as you started to talk through it, I kind of visualized it as a marketplace, as well as a networking opportunity, growth opportunity for students that are studying fashion right now, right?
Yeah, that's totally the...
They will build their communities locally, and they'll have this platform, these guidelines, these processes, that have been proven by what you're doing, and then they will just supply that in their local region, and maybe you'll have a local lead, and then they are able to go through this process and a project of their own, and there will be Upsize Chic endorsed clothing lines, and then people can also learn more about these designers and individually what they have put up as their own creations, and then people could go and buy that. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So they can have like a kind of showroom of their creation. So later, if they want to be as well an independent, they can also sell it by saying, yeah, I was on Upsize Chic and you have also all of these lines. So yeah, you know me. And now you can also buy to directly to me when I'm not a student anymore.
Sounds great. I like the idea of the shop showroom. I really love it. Definitely when you do it, I will be one of the first to come visit. You can be sure of that. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, it's also very good, like you both said, to be like supporting the students and giving them opportunity to grow themselves. Like, everyone's winning at the end of the day. And especially in the fashion industry, it's not so easy to make a name. So yeah, it's a very good opportunity that you're offering them, which is very great. But digging more into the fashion side, this is more maybe of a girl talk, but since we have you, I was dying to ask you, do you have maybe one or two style advice, like very general, that anyone could benefit from for our listeners, even if it's just one?
I think that you have to feel comfortable enough to be confident. So if you don't feel confident about a clothes, your attitude will also depend on it. So you will be exteriorizing in some kind of way. You will be showing what you are by your clothes. So don't just stay in the same line that everyone is, like buying H&M cardigan with that. Just show who you are with your clothes, and because they will talk by themselves for you. So just be confident, by wearing comfortable clothes enough that will show your personality. I think it's the unique advice I can give. Yeah.
So have your
awesome.
Own style.
So clothes. Have yeah, your own expressing style. Yourself through your clothes.
Exactly.
I love that. I love the concept, especially coming from someone who lives in leggings for my job. Whenever I can wear something different, it's a party. I mean, if I can put on a dress, it makes my day. So I'm completely on board with this idea. And if you have the chance to not have like a uniform on something, I mean, go crazy. Go for it.
Well, in a way, maybe you prepared yourself for the pandemic. Right now, people across the globe are living in their pajamas. They're working in their pajamas. I'm sure everybody's loving the hell out of it.
That's true. The good sides of the pandemic, right?
Absolutely. We didn't talk about this. How do you go about, like, okay, you did say you don't count anymore, but there. So then you're not really putting a cap to how many hours do I dedicate to work and or how many hours do I dedicate to studies, and you're just kind of doing things in parallel and managing your way through it.
Yeah, I do it like that because I think it's also kind of when I'm working on my school stuff and I want to do a break, I will just work on my business because it can be something that will just help me having a break in some kind of way, because I would be like demotivated for my school, but when I'm working on that, I will be motivated so I can come back to my school after that and still be motivated. So yeah, that's why also I think I don't put like 2 hours of that, 2 hours of that, and 2 hours of that, but I'm more mixing it up, but which can be tricky because when you are into something, then you can spend so many hours and you don't see it. And so I don't really count it. Yeah,
that's called being in flow, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, people try various things just to be in flow, and it's amazing that you have that. It's amazing that you're aware of it, and it's amazing that you're able to focus on it. So that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. As you're going through it, and it's great to see that you have everything starting from the frame of mind to how you're structuring things more or less in a sorted manner, and you seem to be focused on a certain path. So just keep up on it. That would be my support for you, motivation for you. But yeah, do take time to have some downtime, to just relax for some time. Mm-hmm. That, you know, maybe okay, if I don't feel like work today, nobody can get a hold of me, like just throw your phone in the ditch. You know, it's easier said than done. Being a business owner, it's almost as if you're living a dual life, it's important to find.
But don't get me wrong, I like to party, I like to go to museum and stuff, so I take time for myself, but yeah, it's kind of complicated too sometimes.
No, for sure, and that's good that you said that, so people will know. Yeah, you know, it's not like all I'm working all the time. If I start something, you do find time to enjoy life as well as you go along.
Yeah,
you find time, and I think also you make time up to a point, because that's also very cliche, but you always say, okay, if you want to do it, you will make time. And that also goes for yourself, like no matter how busy you are, you can always make a little bit of time for yourself. It doesn't have to be a lot, it doesn't have to be hours on end, but making some time to do something fun, something relaxing, to just sleep more, whatever it is. So I think, like you said, it's important to mention that you actually do it, because otherwise everyone will be so worried. The poor girl, she's working 24/7, she's not taking a break. What's going on?
No,
happy and relieved to hear that.
Yeah, and for those that will listen, that it's good that we clarified, because that will be the right message to send then. Oh no, yes, she has time for herself and so on, right? So they won't be like, oh, if I start it, I'll be miserable. No, nobody is.
No, I take time for myself, and my friends also, and my fiance also, and my family, they're always saying like, can we go do that? And so they take me out of my business, take me out of my studies and so. So I make time, but they also like take me to make time. So No worries. I'm still alive. I'm still doing fine.
No, I work still standing.
At the same time.
No, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great to be well surrounded and to have people around you who are supportive, but at the same time who can help you sometimes, like you say, take you out of your project and into the exterior world and be like, okay, let's do something else now. That's very valuable because sometimes we need that, right? We just need that push.
Totally. And I think that people that are quite of alone, if they don't have like many friends or have not the friends that are not really available, there is a lot of communities, in fact, some projects that will just gather a lot of entrepreneurs and that will just make some evenings or something just to meet each other and talk, and you will be like talking about your issues and you will see that in fact your issues are not that big deal. And yeah, talking with other entrepreneurs can be also something that will just get you out of your project and making a break in your life. So yeah,
there are a lot of communities like that. Since you're specifically based in Europe, there is a website called Advising. I happen to be registered as an advisor there. There's something called Co-Founders Lab, or you can even find those entrepreneurial groups on Meetup, just so you have that community built around you, and then you know you're supporting each other, and if there are specific challenges that you're facing, maybe somebody else did, and then you can walk each other through that process of how to conquer it. So yeah, that's very valuable to note. Wonderful. So I realize we are getting towards the close here, but any closing comments from your end?
I think being a student entrepreneur is something, because sometimes you will not have everyone that will understand what you're doing and how much you are struggling with. But as long as you keep up to date your nearest and closest friends and family, they will be able to support you. They will be able to boost you. They will be able to take on your nerves when you are just getting crazy. And I really think it's really important to be well surrounded, or even a little bit surrounded, and to stay motivated also, because those people will see that you were motivated from the beginning, and they will just remind you why and what is the goal of this project. So as long as you don't lose that vision, as I say in the beginning, you will be fine. And just don't do it for the money, because you were struggling with that. It's really has to be a passion and a motivation at first, because otherwise you would just keep on running, as we say, and exhaust yourself.
Like, it ends up being a hamster wheel. So like you put up a goal. If it is materialistic, you'll achieve it and you'll get there, and then you will be like, okay, what can I do next? And then you'll end up in a cycle, as I said, a hamster wheel, which is why it's important to be driven by a cause. You have a certain vision in mind. Let's say, for example, in your case, you want to resolve those issues in the fashion industry, as you pointed earlier today, that it's the second most polluting industry. Clothes go around the world and then they just burn it in the end if they're not able to sell it. So being driven by causes like that to support the planet around us, or the planet that we're living on, and to support the communities around us, doing this for the right reasons is important, and it brings you a lot of other skills too. So that's again, love chatting with you. Wonderful thoughts there. Just keeping up. Val, what's your fitness tip for the day?
Just to add variety in your plate and your food in general. Don't go on boring diets and just try to have colors, textures, and lots of stuff. And I see Joyce is laughing. But yeah, it's very important for both, for your physical as well as your mental health. Like if you eat the same thing every day, I can guarantee you will get bored no matter who you are. It doesn't matter, you will get bored. If you keep it interesting, not only will you have way more nutrients, which are good for your health, but also mentally you will be in a way better place. You will be able to enjoy and you will have more fun times. So that would be the best tip today. Add variety, colors, go for it, and try new stuff. That's important.
Wonderful. All right. Well, this is Prince, Val, and Joyce signing off from University Call Life. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.